All week we'll remember Muhammad Ali, and it's hard. It's hard to remind ourselves of the country he came up in. He was an Olympic gold medal winner and a world champion boxer who couldn't sit at a diner counter. He spoke his mind at a time when blacks were commonly lynched. He also refused to enlist when that was not an option. The BBC's Simon Watts picks up that story.
It's April 28, 1967. Muhammad Ali, the heavyweight champion of the world, is called to appear before a military panel in Houston, Texas. When his name is announced, he refuses to serve in the Vietnam War.
Why should me and other so-called Negroes go 10,000 miles away from home here in America to drop bombs and bullets on other innocent brown people who's never bothered us? And I will say directly, no, I will not go 10,000 miles to help or kill innocent people.
Muhammad Ali was stripped of his world boxing titles almost immediately, and he ran the risk of landing up in jail. But in this BBC interview from the period, he was unrepentant.
Oh, I knew that when I stuck up for the Islamic belief, 1,000%, that I would catch Prussians. And many people, religious people in the past, Jesus spent some time in jail, Moses spent some time in jail, Noah, Lot, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad Ali himself, Martin Luther King, all men who stand up for their beliefs. But in the end, they're always much greater after they serve the time.
Blacks just loved him because Ali represented their feelings. He set a new model for athletes who had been accustomed to taking a meek approach. He was the greatest inside the ring and outside the ring at that time.
Dr. Nathan Hare is a radical black academic who also happens to be a former semi-professional boxer himself. He'd been fascinated by Muhammad Ali since the very start of his career, when the great fighter was still known by his original name, Cassius Clay.
In 1959, my wife and I were sharing an apartment with another couple. I was sitting up there alone watching the National Golden Glove Championship, and there was this 70-year-old boy that was winning the championship, and I went running through the apartment, "Come watch this great fighter, come watch this great fighter." I had never seen anything like that. The amateur he was fighting seemed like he was just standing still, and Ali was just floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee.
Ali's career was meteoric. He won an Olympic gold, and by the tender age of 22, he already had the world heavyweight title. In the mid-60s, the boxer gradually became a more political person. Cassius Clay converted to Islam and changed his name to Muhammad Ali. He joined the militant Nation of Islam movement, and when he became eligible for the draft in 1966, he famously declared, "I ain't got no quarrel with the Viet Cong."
Brother, we can't quit until we get our share.
Many people were going through a change in their point of view. They were losing faith in the slow pace of integration and civil rights. But when Ali became a vocalist for this sort of thing, it had a great impact.
In April 1967, Nathan Hare was teaching at Howard, the most prestigious black university in America. Howard had produced the leaders of the Black Power movement, and that spring its students were protesting against everything from Vietnam to what they regarded as a white man's curriculum. Into the turmoil stepped Muhammad Ali.
I met him at the airport with a couple of the student leaders, the freshmen who were members of the Black Power Committee. On the way in the taxi cab to the Washington Hilton Hotel, he was writing his poetry. And I was struck by that, and struck by the fact that he was intelligent. He could have been anybody, anything he wanted to. He didn't have to be a fighter. They think that he was dumb. He was not dumb. And he could have been a professor, a lawyer, a politician. And then at the hotel, I was struck by the fact he kept on talking, woofing and talking tough. Had been in the ghetto for a long time. He was a master of that.
I show no fear before my fights. Oh, you're going to fall in round seven, and then you'll go to heaven. And if you talk jive, I'll get you in five. And if you make me sore, I'll cut it to four. And if you keep talking about me, I'll get you in three. Now, if that don't do, you'll go in two. And chump, if you want to have some real fun, I'll get you in one. I cannot lose with the stuff I use. You might be ugly and you might be rough, but to whoop Muhammad Ali, it ain't enough.
He said, let's go out and talk to the people. And he'd go out and the streets just be filled at a moment's notice. In the restaurant, all the waitresses and everybody was trying to get his autograph for that boys. Everybody just loved him.
But the authorities at Howard didn't love Muhammad Ali. They refused to let him speak inside the university auditorium, so Nathan Hare had to rig up a PA system on the steps of the President's Hall. Muhammad Ali's induction board came just days after the Howard visit, and when he spoke to the BBC later that year, he showed no signs of regret.
My people are here, the 22 million people struggle for freedom, justice, and equality. I have the image, I can do a lot to help, in jail or not.